Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so you will also be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we have one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted passages in all of sacred Scripture. "Stop judging, lest you be judged." There are many who have interpreted this to mean we shouldn't make judgments on anything whatsoever. We shouldn't judge conduct even to be right or wrong. That's clearly not what Jesus is saying. The first reading today, we see a very clear judgment on behalf of God, that God wanted all the people who would ever read the second book of Kings to share. It talks about how the kingdoms of Samaria and Israel, the northern part and the central part of the Holy Land, were attacked by the Assyrians and overrun. And the reason why that happened, they tell us very clearly, is because the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord. They venerated other gods. That's clearly conduct unbecoming of a child of God. And God wanted us to recognize how clearly that was wrong. On Saturday, Pope Francis went to Calabria, southern Italy, and he forcefully condemned the work of the mafia, calling it absolutely evil, and describing how by that evil, by their adoration of evil, they were separating themselves from communion with the Lord. They were excommunicating themselves. Pope Francis has regularly judged as totally inappropriate gossip or corruption, or this lack of sensitivity toward the poor. Jesus is clearly here not describing that we shouldn't judge actions to be right or wrong. He wants us to. That's a properly functioning conscience. But he is describing that we're not supposed to judge others. Why not? Because even though we can see their deeds and be able to analyze whether it corresponds to the moral law or not, we can never understand everything else that's going on inside. Even, for example, should someone pull a trigger and murder someone, we never know what was really going on the inside. If the person, for example, were psychologically ill and thought that someone was attacked, we can never know that. And because we can't know the other parts of a sinful action, deliberate will and knowledge of the evil, we can't judge. And that works both ways. Many Catholics would never judge someone to be in hell on the basis of their actions in this life, because they know that that's condemned by Jesus. But Catholics all over the place judge people to be in heaven. No matter what they did, if they haven't even come to church for the last 6 decades, they say, well, he's in a better place now. We don't know that. We can't judge in either direction. Only God sees what was inside. And even someone who would have been an incredible benefactor here in life might have been doing it totally for his own vanity. We're not called to judge. We leave that type of judging to God. But how does Jesus want us to relate to our neighbor? He describes it in here. He doesn't want us to judge our neighbor. He wants us truly to love our neighbor. He wants us to love our neighbor, seeing in our neighbor many of the same weaknesses we ourselves have. He doesn't want us to look at our neighbor condescendingly. as a superior to an inferior. How could he or she possibly be doing that? Doesn't he know better? But he wants us to start from washing the feet on upward. That's why Jesus today says, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye and don't perceive the log in your own? Some of the times we have sequoias in our own eyes. We have redwoods. And when we do, we're blind. We're not looking at others with the eyes of faith. We're certainly not looking at others with the merciful eyes of Jesus. But often we're looking from our own misery and trying to divert our attention from examining our own consciences to be able to notice all the defects that we see in those who are around us. But Jesus doesn't tell us, stop there. Just recognize that you've got beams and over. He says, take out your beams so that you can see clearly, so that you can see with faith, so that precisely then, with real charity, you can help your neighbor to take out what distorts your neighbor's vision, so that your neighbor will be able to see the light and walk in the light and follow that light all the way home to that place where the light will never be extinguished. That's what we're called to do. Many times Jesus, with great psychology, recognizes that we are persistent judges of others precisely because of a psychological need to deflect the attention from our own misery. Jesus wants us first to examine our own logs, to examine our conscience, then to have contrition, then to go to confession, and then to let that lead to a real conversion of life. That's the way, once we recognize that we're sinners, we can approach others and share with them the mercy that has lavishly first been shared with us. And that's the way most effectively we're going to help others to take whatever is in their eye or their life out. Because if we do it from below as a fellow sinner, so much more effective than as a finger wagger from above. Two applications of this teaching. The first is to the Fortnight for Freedom we are presently engaged in, along with Catholics all throughout the country. There's a law that needs to be fixed in our country with regard to the way religious freedom is being trampled upon. There are a lot of things with the HHS decree trying to force down our throats, paying for other people's immoral actions, chemical abortions, sterilizations, the use of contraception. There's an attempt now by President Obama, as I was mentioning on Saturday, to try to eliminate any charitable organization from receiving a penny unless we go along with President Obama's idea of the fact that if somebody is a practicing gay or transgendered transvestite, that shouldn't matter at all in any of the church agencies. That as soon as we go into Catholic social services, if we have somebody who doesn't share the church's faith, we can't say we can't give them a job. And they can't be the receptionist there. It's ridiculous. We need forcefully to say that that's wrong. We can judge those deeds to be contrary to right reason, not to mention a revelation. But as we do this, we need to recognize that the people who might be trying to implement this are beloved sons and daughters of God. They are people for whom Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross. So we shouldn't be doing it hostily, in an angry way, embittered. But we should be doing so recognizing that they've clearly got specks in their eyes and we need to help them. St. John Chrysostom said that when we help others to take out the planks from their life, we should be doing so not as an enemy seeking revenge, but as a doctor or a nurse applying a cure. Should be doing so always with charity, because frankly they're misled, they're blinded by what's in their vision, and we need to grasp that in order to help correct that vision. Second application is to religious life. Religious life is a life that does the entire church an incredible favor by helping us all to see far more clearly what are the most important things in life. So often, the redwoods in our eyes are flowing from our threefold concupiscence. We just want to accumulate goods upon goods upon goods, acquisitiveness. A lot of the times we want to accumulate fame and power and control over others. Or we want to accumulate pleasures one upon another and flee from any sacrificial understanding of pain. Religious life helps to correct the entire vision of the church, to take out, in a sense, planks or specks in the mystical body, so that we might see clearly that God's kingdom has got to come first, that He wants us to be poor in spirit so that we might treasure what's most valuable, that we're supposed to love like the Lord and not lust like so many in the world. And it's those who make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven to say that God's love is the supreme love in life that can help correct those excesses in everyone. It's in those who recognize that obeying God is the supreme use of our freedom, including when we obey Him through ministers who command in His name. In an age in which we've got an individualism and a false notion of autonomy, that we should have the freedom even to murder babies or execute our useless seniors through euthanasia, that our obedience to God is what makes freedom possible. That we'll never have a free country unless we're one nation under God. So we thank Nora, and we thank God for giving her the vocation. By her response, it calibrates all of our hearts and our eyes to the things that are most important. We may not have that same vocation that she does, but we do have a vocation to see things always in God's light and to truly value the stuff that's most important. Today, we come here for our daily eye checkup and eye treatment. As we begin to have our eyes purified by the Word of God, we then are made capable of beholding the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, takes away our planks, takes away our specks, and makes us capable of doing this same gift in memory of Him with our neighbor. Let's receive that help. Let's put that help into practice. And let's go out as nurses to try to take away anything that is an obstacle for others to see God and to follow Him all the way home to His kingdom of light. Praise be Jesus Christ.